If I rely on myself and doing a good job, and I need to do a good job. I struggle with it every time I get up to preach. I want to do a good job. I want people to come up. Well, I don't want you to come up and say it was a great job because then I know it's fake. But I...
So obviously this is the installation service for us, for Micah Grant. There's a step that a church takes. This is not an ordination service. This is just a service where we are recognizing that he is coming on board. And so we are going to vote for, if you vote him down this morning on his license, then we're kind of a train wreck from here forward. But if you are willing as the Cornerstone Baptist Church to license Micah Grant to be a preacher of the gospel, would you give him a hearty amen?
Amen.
And so, Micah, your license to preach is November 24th, 2024. It is my privilege as the pastor of this church to introduce to you Pastor Micah Grant. Come and preach. Come on up.
Thank you. Sit down, please. Wow. The crying was supposed to take place at the end when the parents came up and the prayer. Wow, thank you. Open in your Bibles, if you would. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 this morning. You know, I've got a lot to say, and I have been asked many, many times in the last 2 weeks, how do you feel? What are you thinking? And it has been just a simple, I am so excited. Mom and I were talking when they came in, and she said, this is better than being in the NBA, isn't it? Because that was my dream as a kid. I wanted to be in the NBA, but I'm 5'11 and I'm white. So that was not going to happen. This is my dream job. This is where we call home. And in the last 8.5 months, roughly, since we've known and exited public education, we have always been praying to be in God's will, but then I say at the end of my prayer, but God, you know I want to be in Cornerstone. And I, you know, anytime a door closed, we were like, well, it's too bad. And so to be able to be here with you folks in the relationships that we have established with the people that we care about, the people that we truly do love, we're just so appreciative, and I'll speak a little bit more to that at the end of the service. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 this morning. We're actually going to look throughout the book of Colossians and in a couple of other of Paul's epistles, and I'd like you to take a look at 1:11 through 14. 1:11 through 14. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, it's a special day for my wife and I. It's a special day for our family. Lord, it's a special day for this church. Lord, as we reflect upon your blessings, Lord, how much you love us, you care for us, you sent your Son to die for us. Lord, we can have the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, as I speak this message on thankfulness this morning, I just ask that you would help me to be a herald of your word, to preach the gospel, and that the Holy Spirit would go out and encourage and convict, exhort, as the Holy Spirit needs to. Lord, we love you. You're so good to us. We thank you for your blessings. In your name, amen. Thanksgiving. So I've had the opportunity to think about this sermon now for several weeks, and then when we established the date, oh, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So not only am I thankful for this opportunity, but we're going into the week of Thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but our family, there's a tradition, and many of you probably have a similar tradition. When we conclude the festivities, specifically the dinner at the table, what do you think we do? Remember, I'm interactive, so you can shout something out. We're not yet. We don't watch football right away, Carl. We take some time and we go around the table, and everybody sitting at the table shares something that they're thankful for. Anybody have that practice in their home in some capacity, whether it's at the end of the meal, before the meal, hopefully not before, right? Because you're like ready to go. But at some point during that day, you share what you're thankful for, right? And I was thinking about that because I don't like to go into anything cold. I am a like-to-be-prepared type of individual. And so I put a lot of thought into what am I going to say? What am I thankful for? It's a very good reflective practice, isn't it? How many of you put some time into thinking about what you're thankful for? Right? Yeah. And what I'd like to do this morning is I think I could ask you the question, ladies and gentlemen, what are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving Sunday, 2024. And no doubt you could rattle off things in your mind. You're probably making a list right now of the things that you are thankful for, aren't you? Right? We have so many blessings. Nationally, at the state level, in our homes, in our lives, in our relationships, we are a blessed people, aren't we? This is a blessed church. But I want to ask you another question. I want you to take the same reflective practice, the same reflective attitude, and I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a spiritually thankful person? Do you have a spirit of thankfulness, not just one day a year, but the other 364 days a year? Now, some of you are sitting here going, okay, because I think there's three plausible answers to that question. Are you a spiritually thankful person? Do you have a spirit of thanksgiving? I think answer number one is, yes, I do. I'm constantly thanking God for things, right? Some of you are in that camp. I think there's the other camp right now that's like, oh man, I already feel a sermon of conviction coming on right now. You're squirming a little bit, right? Like, I've been told I'm not a thankful person. Sometimes I feel convicted about not being a thankful person. I'd like to be more thankful because I'm kind of selfish. I'm not selfish, right, dear? But then I think there's the third group of people who are answering this question saying, you know, Micah, I've never actually really thought about my spirit of thanksgiving. I've never actually reflected upon that, and I wouldn't even necessarily know the measure to which I could say yes or no, right? Have you ever thought about that? You can actually measure whether or not you are and have a spirit of thanksgiving. And did you know, based on the scriptures, you should? As Christians, should we be thankful people? Do you think thanks is mentioned in the Bible? Yes. Hundreds of times. Paul in the epistles alone uses some type of thanks, praise, gratitude 40 to 50 times. We need to be thankful people. Because I'll tell you the other thing. If you are a thankful person, will that stand out in society today? Will that make you set apart? Will that make you different? Absolutely. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to run through four things. I will be brief. I am like Wendell. I've got four things and under four things. I got four things for those four things, but we'll move a little faster than that this morning because I can smell the chili from downstairs. I want to take you through four areas. I call them signposts. How many of you know what a signpost is? Especially if you're in the Deer Woods. What do you do when you see that signpost? For those of you that are looking at me inquisitively, a signpost is a giant tree, usually like a maple, a brown ash, or maybe an old softwood. And what do the bucks do to that tree? They just scrape it. And when you see one that's about that big, you're like that high off the ground, you're like, oh man, there's a big buck here, or there's a bunch of big bucks here. And what do you want to do? Yeah, you want to sit by that signpost during the day, obviously, but you want to sit by that signpost, okay?
Right. I want to take you through a couple of signposts that I believe will help you understand whether or not, and help you measure whether or not you have a spirit of thanksgiving. So, number one, we're actually going to stay in Colossians, but we're going to go over to Colossians 4, 2. Number one, and these are in alliteration form, this is a themed message. Number one is prayer. Do you pray with thanksgiving? Look what Paul says. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. I love the New King James Version. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. What is Paul saying we need to pray with? Thanksgiving. Folks, this is a really simple measure. When you think about your, first of all, you need to be praying what? Continually. We tell the kids in the Word of Life clubs, right? We pray without ceasing. We are praying all the time, right? We are constantly lifting our voices up to God, trying to have a conversation with Him. We are communicating with Him. But evaluate your prayer life. Are your prayers ones that only ask, 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 ask? Or do you ask? Do you petition? And then you thank. Do you know you are commanded to thank God for what He's done for you? And one of the things that I love about prayer in our church, prayer meetings, and Sunday schools, you know what we do before we take prayer requests? Praises. What has God done for us? How has God answered those prayers? And I've been doing a pretty, I've been doing my own prayer evaluation. I would like to say it's because I'm maturing, but I've been convicted about my prayer. And I have found myself, I ask a lot. I ask a lot. And I always think about myself when I was a child. I think my parents, they must have gotten so tired of me. Because you know what you do to your parents all the time? Ask, 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 talk, 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 talk. I was the talker. Talk, 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 ask, ask, ask. You know what parents love? A spirit of thanksgiving. When their kids come to you and say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for doing that. We need to do the same with our Heavenly Father. In fact, if you look at the Psalms, did you know the praise Psalms are the second most behind the lament Psalms? David's a great model of that. We need to have a prayer of thanksgiving. But it doesn't just stop there. You don't have to flip there. But not only in our prayer life do we need to be praying with thanksgiving, but listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, I exhort you, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. Anybody know the rest? For all men. Did you know that we are also, not only are we thanking Him for the things that are happening in our own lives, but who are we thanking Him for? All men. Do you thank Him for the people He has put in your life? You know, when you start thinking and thanking Him for the people that He has put in your life, what are you doing? You are making life not about you, right? You are thinking about the needs and the ways others have poured into you. And notice that, does it say the men you like? The men that have been nice to you? The people you care for? The ones who love you? No, it says all men. And you know what I love about Paul? Paul's a list maker, right? Have you ever noticed Paul and his lists? Paul loves lists. He then gives you an example. He says, for who? For kings and all that are in authority. Oh, man, I can tell you with all sincerity, it was very hard to be thankful for the last 4 years, politically. And you know what? I'm very glad we got a reprieve. I'm glad God shone His face in the last election. It was refreshing to see the amount of people who decided to stand up for the morality of our country. That being said, we need to continue to thank God for President-elect Trump, but we also need to pray for those on the other side of the aisle and thank God for them. Not in what they're doing. We don't have to be thankful for what they believe and how they behave. But thank God for putting them in the position that he has decided to put them in and that he may change their hearts. Because who can change a heart? God, only Jesus Christ. We need to thank God for all men. So, number one, your first signpost. Do you have thanksgiving in your personal prayer life? And are you thanking God for all the people in your life? Number two, flip with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. I call the second signpost I've kind of gone back and forth on actually what to call it. But are you thankful in your personal life? Your personal life. Look at what Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanliness, all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of what? Thanks." Very simply stated, what comes out of your mouth reflects whether or not you are a thankful person. Because what comes out of the mouth is really just an indicator of what? The abundance of the heart, right? Matthew chapter 17, I believe. You ever talk to somebody that's not thankful and you've known it? You have, right? Because it's reflected in the way they speak. And we have some indicators here. Filthiness, foolish talk, or jesting. The NIV version says obscene talk. You ever talk to a man who runs down his wife all the time? There's no place for that. You think that man's thankful for his wife? You ever talk to a man who runs down his children? He's not thankful for his children. You ever talk to a man who's not thankful for his job, his boss, right? Whatever it might be. He's not thankful for those things. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you today, and especially men, Christian men have no right to run down their families. We are blessed men. We are thankful for them, and we reflect it in our talk. Not only that, but I'm a little sick and tired of all the boy men running around in our society, too. Yeah, and listen, I'm not the toughest man that ever walked the face of the earth, George. I undertook a pretty extensive renovation project in the last 6 months of searching for work. And many of the men in the church were making fun of my very soft hands that are now calloused. That's what happens when you work behind a desk for 16 years, right? This isn't about being tough that way. This is about being thankful for what God has given you. This is about being the priest of your home and being the provider, both physically and spiritually. And there is no place for foolishness when it comes to men. That doesn't mean that we can't have a good time. That doesn't mean that we can't laugh. That doesn't mean that we don't zing each other once in a while over soft hands, right? Or missing that big buck or whatever it might be. But there is no place for foolish talk or obscene talk. What comes out of your mouth reflects how thankful you are. Also, another good, and this stays under the umbrella of personal life. I'm sorry, I'm having you flip a lot, but I think it's important to look at the scripture. Look and go back to, please, Colossians 3:15. I want to take you through another personal example of thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, and it is also up on the screen. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Did you know that if you have peace in your heart, you will be a more thankful person? Did you know that? Anybody have contentment and peace? And what do you And what are you, excuse me, as a result of that? You're thankful, aren't you? Question, class. How do we have peace in our hearts? How do we attain that? God, very good. What else? I agree with that. Surrender. Consistent time in His Word. Prayer, excellent. I would agree with all of those. Colossians 1:9. Do you know what Paul says? You can know and understand God's will. When you know and understand God's will for your life, we do not serve some demigods. We don't serve these gods that are far off. We serve and have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I can know and understand His will for my personal life. And when I know and understand His personal will for my life, I have peace and I have thankfulness, don't I? I have tremendous peace about going into ministry in this church because guess what? I know it's God's will, right? And you've felt that way. And it doesn't have to be ministry. It's different life situations for all of you. But when you know and understand you're in God's will, what a beautiful place that is. What a thankful place that is. However, we need to be very careful regarding the peace of our heart because what is the heart? It is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? Jeremiah 17:19. And so, if you continue on in that passage, it says 3:16 and 3:17, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Thanks to God the Father through Him." Ladies and gentlemen, this is a somewhat difficult concept to comprehend, but I'm going to try to do the best that I can because Amanda and I tried to work through this on multiple occasions this week. When you are in God's will and you are at peace and you are thankful, there is also peace and thankfulness in the relationships around you. I'm going to say that again. When you are in God's will and you are at peace and you are thankful, look what it says. We are teaching and admonishing myself? No. It says one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you know why this church is so great? Because there's a bunch of people in God's will. And you know when you can see it? Just hang around after a service. Watch people handshaking during the intermission. Well, we don't have an intermission, but whatever we call it, the greeting time, not intermission. Right, it's close enough, right? Get a coffee, come on back in, right? There's communion, there's blessing, there's peace in the relationships. There's very few cliques. You know who's the best example of this? Jonah. Jonah in the Old Testament is a great example of somebody who thought he had peace. But what was going on around him? When Jonah was told to go do the will of God and preach to the Ninevites, what did Jonah do? He not only did he say no, he was outright defiant and ran in the, well, I shouldn't say ran, sailed in the other direction, didn't he? Went to Tarshish or attempted to go to Tarshish. And when the raging storm hit that sea and hit that boat, and those sailors were ready to throw stuff overboard, precious cargo, what was Jonah doing? A deep sleep. How many of you would be in a deep sleep on a boat? Let alone one, I can't even be on a boat that rocks. Makes me sick. Let alone a deep sleep in a storm. Jonah had peace in his heart about his sin. And when you are sinning, you can have peace about it. Did you know that? Some people can. But you know what's going on in the relationships around you? Chaos. A storm. And notice what happens when Jonah repented, when he admitted that he had sinned, that he was running from God, and they threw him overboard. What happened to the storm? Calm. Order was restored. And those men praised God, didn't they? That's not how we should be a witness, by the way. That's not the best methodology. But those men made vows and praised God. Is there peace in your heart, because you're in God's will, Is there peace in the relationships around you? That's an indication of a thankful heart. Number three, same book, go back one chapter, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And we're going to go really quickly through this one so we can get to the last thing. Colossians 2, 6, he says, and 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You know, I spent 16 years in public education. I know it's thousands of conversations with teachers, administrators, students, and parents in that time frame. And many of them were not thankful people because they perceived their purpose incorrectly. When you know God's purpose for your life, you will be thankful. And so many of those people were disenfranchised because you know what they thought their purpose was? They thought their purpose was to teach kids. They thought their purpose was to raise kids. They thought their purpose was fill in the blank. And are those good things? Teaching, raising kids, having families. Folks, those are great things. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to glorify God. And when you recognize, look what it says, when rooted and built in him, established in the faith, when you recognize, that those endeavors are a vehicle in which you are glorifying God, but your true calling, your true purpose is to glorify God, you will be thankful. But too many people in our society think that their purpose is in something other than Jesus Christ. And even Christians have to be careful of this, don't we? Right? Because we want to pursue this. I mean, I'm going to have to be careful of it in ministry. If I rely on myself and doing a good job, and I need to do a good job. I struggle with it every time I get up to preach. I want to do a good job. I want people to come up. Well, I don't want you to come up and say it was a great job because then I know it's fake. But I want to do a good job. I want to be good at everything I do. My sole purpose in standing here today is to herald the Word of God and please the Father. That is it. And that has been our prayer as we have gone into ministry. We want to glorify God, period. And I don't care if it's preaching to 5 people or 500. We want to glorify God. And lastly, we're running out of time. The last P, it's incorrect, but it's a Wendell Calder special. So I said, Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are to give thanks in practically everything. That's my P, my fourth P. Did you pick up on it? Practically everything? No, that's not what it says. We are to give thanks for what? Everything, for all things. I'm going to say it one more time. For all things. I have not got this one figured out yet. Stan, you got this one figured out yet? Mark, you got this one figured out with? Dad, you got this one figured out yet? I was going to say Brother Frank. You got this one figured out with? Yeah. Folks, this one is so hard, isn't it? Thankful for all things, for everything. But this is where we conclude our sermon this morning. We go back to Colossians 1:11 and 12 and 13. You cannot have a spirit of thankfulness without Jesus Christ. It's not possible. If you do not have the power of Christ in you, You cannot have a spirit of thankfulness. Sure, you can manufacture it one day a year. You can say thank you. You can write it in a card. You can churn it up once in a while. But you can't have a spirit of thankfulness. Because only through Christ's power, his manifested, his Kratos power, it says in verse 11, do you have endurance? Do you have patience? Do you have long-suffering? And in those things, when Christ gives you that kind of power, you can have joyful thankfulness in what? Everything. And do you know where it starts? Do you know where our thankfulness starts? Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in what? The inheritance of the saints. Folks, what's our inheritance? What do we get to be inheritance of? Eternal life with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Only Jesus Christ has the power to conquer death. Only Jesus Christ can promise eternal life. Only Jesus Christ is the source of our thanksgiving. And when we recognize that, when we recognize the gift that we have in him, we are truly thankful in all things for all things. What an amazing promise. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do so this morning. I'm thankful for a lot of things. This is the part I told you. I was practicing for Amanda last night and earlier in the week, and I said, you have to leave for this part. I'm thankful for you, dear. Thank you for your support. I love you so much. 16 and a half years. We've known each other for 17. I love you. Thank you for supporting me in this. And I know you'll continue to support me. You are the best wife that a man could have. Boys, you, Malachi, Levi, and Josiah, I am thankful for good boys. We put a lot of work into you. You are good boys. We love you. Thank you. Frank and Barbara, thank you for raising a godly daughter. Amen. Thank you. Mom and Dad, thank you for raising two godly sons. And I would say to you both, thank you for being faithful. I know it has not been easy. We watched it. But you handled it with grace, and you have been faithful to the Lord. And that is one of the reasons why I'm up here today. Thank you. I love you both. Mark and Stan, thank you for the way you have mentored me and poured into me. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you. And to this body of believers, you know who you are. I've had relationships. I've talked to so many of you. And if I haven't talked to you yet, I'll get there. Thank you to this body of believers for accepting us, for encouraging us, for praying for us, for pouring into us. You have been dear to us. We didn't realize how much until we started traveling this summer. It was really hard to leave you folks, and we are so excited to be back and to be serving with you. And spiritually, I am thankful today, and this is what I'll share on Thursday. I am thankful for Galen Cole. Galen Cole had a semi-wheeler truck that said, fathers don't send their families to church, fathers take their families to church. And my grandfather, being pestered by my grandmother, who had two young children, said, we need to go to church. And he said, nope, not for me. And she pestered, and she pestered, and she prayed, and she pestered, and she prayed. And my grandfather kept seeing that truck. He was a mill worker in Woodland, Maine, worked at the mill. And in the mid-1960s, he finally acquiesced to my grandmother, and he said, okay, I will go for 4 Sundays. Don't ever ask me to go again. And guess whose church he walked into? Wendell Calder. And you know you're going to hear the gospel message from Wendell Calder. And Wendell Calder led my grandfather at his kitchen table to the Lord. And it changed our generational legacy. generational curses to generational blessings, and to my dad, and to me and my brothers, and someday to my sons. And I am thankful that he has glorified his son so that I could give him praise and thanks today for allowing me to be an inheritance in the kingdom of light. And if you haven't done that this morning, you're going to get the opportunity in just a second.
As a dad, as a grampy, I've had a lot of good days. I'm a blessed man. Today's a great day.
Amen.
And just want to thank you folks for the love and the encouragement you've extended to Mike and Amanda and the boys. I'm a biased dad, but you've got a good one. There's good genes on his mother's side of the family. And hopefully those will come to the forefront in his tenure here. But this is a great day. And when I'm at a point where I won't remember much else, I will never forget today. Father, we're told in the scripture that if a man desires the office of a pastor, he desires a good thing. Churches need pastors. And Lord, up here in the Northeast, there's a shortage. Father, we are thankful for churches in Maine that honor truth. We'd ask your blessing upon them. Father, for churches that don't have pastors this morning, Lord, just help them to persevere. Lord, it's hard. I'm thankful for this church, for the decades that it has honored truth that pleases you, for faithful people. And Lord, now as Mike and Amanda make the transition to officially become part of the leadership, I pray, Lord, it would be the beginning of a long and profitable and faithful tenure. Continue to use this church, our lighthouse, dear God. This area of the state needs truth. The whole state does, Father. Father, I'm thankful, again, for Micah and Amanda. I'm thankful for the boys. Lord, use them. Keep them close to you. Keep them close to each other, Father. It's been a glorious day. Hallelujah. We praise you for the privilege of being eyewitnesses. We ask these things now in the name of Christ, our Savior and our King. Amen.
Amen.
My wife and I are pleased to be here today. It's a great day for us. We've watched Mike and Amanda as they've explored God's will, and we knew all along they wanted to be here, but they had to do the work of checking things out and investigating, and but finally God opened this door, and we're happy that he did. We are blessed by Micah. We've had Amanda for, she's my baby, and cried like a baby when we danced together at their wedding. Couldn't help myself, and I know how my wife feels, and the glory, I shouldn't say glory, but the thanksgiving, I guess, has to go to my wife because she's the better of this duo, and I thank God for her. Heavenly Father, we cannot anoint this couple because you have. We can only add our thoughts and prayers and desires for success in their lives. We're proud of them, and I say that, I believe, in a good way. We're happy with how they've turned out. We're happy with what you've done in their lives. We're happy that they want you first in their lives, and they want to serve you, and we believe that they will. We thank you that they are great parents. And Lord, as they come into this new phase of their life, we pray, God, for your anointing on them in a very special way and your blessing to pass upon them. Help Micah to be that counselor and advisor and caregiver that you want from him. I know that he will succeed and be blessed. Now, God, we thank you for this time together, and we can only do it all in your name, and we praise you for it. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, there is just so much that good things that are happening here. So thankful for Frank and Barbara Godley, for the ministry that they've had. Lord, you know I've known them since a teenager and had no idea that they were raising a daughter that would be so impactful in our little country church. But thank you for their faithfulness and for Amanda. And Kevin and Connie have been heroes in this church, and we've looked up to them and been inspired by the pastorate that Kevin has done and the work that he has done, and he's taught classes here in this church. We are better because of it. And they've raised a great son named Micah. And for some reason, you have smiled on this church and led him to be here. And we are thankful. And I ask that you would use Micah and Amanda in a way that people would recognize that that's not Micah, that's Amanda, that's the hand of God in their life using them. Pray that you would see little of us and all of you, and to point people to Christ in a relationship with you. And we commit their lives to you, knowing that they desire to serve you. So they'll work here in this church, and you may call them somewhere else in the future. We do not know the entire future, but we do know that for today, they are in the center of your will. We're thankful for that, and we pray that they would constantly be in the center of your will, no matter where that takes them. But we like them here. We're glad they're here. Use them in a powerful way. Lord, we ask for the audience today that they would continue to love us as pastors and workers in this church, that they would pray for us, that they would lift us up before the throne, and that we would recognize, they would recognize that we are not perfect, that we will disappoint them, and that we are just human. The only one perfect is you, and we get to serve you. So bless this church. Help us to love one another, and we pray for days ahead of success in the cause of Christ. Bless each one here, the fellowship downstairs, the week, the months, the years ahead, that we'd be found busy serving you until you come. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.